All right, let's begin. Okay. I told you I want to be Kurim. Before I'll be Kurim, what exactly is Bikurim? What exactly is the meaning of Bikurim? In the Torah, it says that Uvayoim HaBikurim on the day of your first fruits, when you offer the mincha chadasha, the first mincha laHashem, b'shavuoseichem, on the festival of weeks. And the question is, what exactly is the Bikurim referring to? From the Pshutah Shel Mikra, it appears the Bikurim is not like what we think mitzvah Bikurim in Parashas Kisavai, but rather we are referring to the mincha. We know that on Shavuos we offer what's called the Shtei Halechem. Shtei Halechem is a carbon mincha that is made from wheat. This is in contrast to the Omer that is offered on Pesach that comes from barley. Now, many of us know the halacha that we're not allowed in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly Bizman Shabbos, Hamidosh Yekayim, it is also to eat from the Tzvua Chadasha, from the new grain, until the second day of Pesach, when the Omer is offered, and the Omer is Matir Chadosh Bamedina. So anything that grows from this, from Pesach until the next Pesach, is off limits. It may not be consumed, it may not be even harvested, according to many opinions, until Pesach passes. And when Pesach passes, then it's mutter. They would then first harvest the grain, and they would make out of that grain grain products. But until that point in time passes, until you bring the Omer, the produce, the dogon, is osur midin chodosh. And all grains are also midin chodosh. There's a big debate. This is the big topic of discussion. Does the law of chodosh apply bizman hazeh in chutz la'aretz and even in Eretz Yisrael? The popular minig in the chutz la'aretz is not to be makbid on chodosh, even if the grain has grown after Pesach and it's in harvested and it's in a product. In chutz la'aretz, we are soymeich on the shita of the Bach. The Bach holds that the law only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not only the grain of Eretz Yisrael, not the grain of Chutz La'aretz. It would appear the Bach is a minority opinion, because the vast majority of the Rishonim hold seem to say that Chodosh applies equally in Chutz La'aretz. But yet, this is the Minog Yisrael to be lenient and to follow the opinion of the Bach. Of course, it goes without saying there are many opinions, there are different opinions that do hold that. We are machmir. There are opinions that are machmir that do not eat today products of grain that are chodosh. Now, what many people do not know, is that just like we have the halacha that chodosh also b'medin until you bring the carbon oimer, you're not allowed to bring a carbon from the new crop until the shtei halechem is offered in the mikdash on Shavuos. Chodosh is matir, the carbon oimer of Pesach is matir chodosh b'medina. B'medina means in Yerushalayim and by extension the entire world. But in the Beis HaMikdash itself, one is not allowed to bring a mincha from the new crop, from this year's crop, until after Shavuos passes. So it's a very fascinating thing. There are two standards. There are the standards for society, and there are the standards for the Beis HaMikdash. In society, once the Omer is offered, you can sit down to a meal and have bread from the new crop, but you're still not allowed to take that grain, same grain that you're allowed to eat, and donate it to the Beis HaMikdash and offer the Mizbeach as a carbon mincha. You're not allowed to do that. That you're not allowed to go do. So it turns out that the tekufa, it's a small point, but it's something that is worthy to appreciate. The zman of the year between Pesach and Shavuos is a zman of double standard. There's a standard for us, it's good enough for us, but it's not yet good for the Beis HaMikdash. After Shavuos passes, it's all the same. What's good for us is good for the Beis HaMikdash. And what's not good for us is not good for the Beis HaMikdash. It's one standard. From the time of Shavuos going forward, it's one standard. If I am allowed to eat this grain, because this grain was harvested after, grew before Pesach, and the Omer was Matar, and it's therefore good for me to eat, it's also good to be used in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon for Hashem. And if this grain grew after Pesach, so it's not fit for my consumption, because the Omer was not yet Matar it, so too it's not fit for to be offered as a carbon on the Mizbeach. But in between Pesach and Shavuos, we're in a very delicate matzav. It's good for me, but it's not good for the Beis HaMikdash. That's a very unique principle. We are taught over and over to be sincere. Toichai kibara. If it's good for you, it's not healthy to live a life where of double standards. You know, I'm not so machmir, but I want for you, for my children, I want higher standards. At home, I have very, very low standards. But in public, there I make believe. You're hypocrites. If in public you make believe to hold to a certain standard, Musa, the laws of Musa demand that you should hold to those same standards privately when you're in behind closed doors. And yet, when it comes to Chodosh, this is unique. You don't have this anywhere else. We have food, we have grain, and the grain, for me, it's good. Why for me it's good? Because we will makriv the carbon oimer, and by being makriv the carbon oimer on Pesach, it's basically in a statement, acknowledgement that Ribbono shel Olam, the world belongs to you, and it's like you're making a bracha almost. So, you know, in the Alei Binenem Be'olam Hazeh, before you make a bracha. So if grain grows from the earth, you can't just eat the grain, even with a bracha. You have to do something significant. You have to bring a carbon, a special carbon, to acknowledge Hashem, you are the creator, and it is through your power that the earth produces food. And now that we bring the carbon, now we can proceed. We are allowed to eat this grain. But it's still not good for you, Hashem. Because for you to take this same grain and bring a carbon mincha to offer it on the Mizbeach, we have to wait for a second carbon to be offered. And that is the carbon of the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos. And that's a very powerful Musar Haskel that it goes to show to us in another dimension that the time between Pesach and Shavuos, we are in a development stage. I mean, it's simple, but it's not so simple, because where do you have a practical application? We know that during this time, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva died because Shaloi no Hagu Kavod Zelozeh. So we have to work on our midos. We know that during this time period, we spend more time learning Pirkei Avos, Derech Eretz, Kodma LeTorah. But here, the Torah itself, forget about Chazal, the Torah itself presents to us something very powerful to show us during this time period between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalah Satorah, you're not yet fully there. You're in a situation where you have to recognize you're weak. For you, there are lower standards. For the Beis HaMikdash, there are higher standards. You're not yet holding at a level where you can equate yourself to the level of Kedusha, where it's Toichai Kibara. That recognition is a very important state in a person's development. After we come to Shavuos, then everything is the same. Okay, it's something that I don't think we appreciate all too often, but it's definitely worth a point that is worth mentioning. Now let me just read the pasuk according to the Nitziv. The Nitziv says this. I told you the word of the Bikurim simply refers to the mincha of Yom HaBikurim on the day of Bikur. B'hakrivcha mincha chadosh l'Hashem. Bikurim means it's the first time we're offering wheat from this year's new crop as a korban mincha in the form of the shtei halechem. So according to many Rishonim, the translation of the word Bikurim in the pasuk that is used in reference to the Yom Tov of Shavuos is not the seven minim sheneshtabcha bohem eretz Yisrael, which we bring in a basket to the Kohen and place it before the Mizbeach. That's not what it means. Uviyoim ha-bikurim, on the day of the first fruits. The first fruit, the fruit here doesn't mean a fruit from a tree. It means a fruit from the earth, the grain, wheat. It's going to be the first time we're going to present Hashem a meal offering, a karban mincha, that is described as the shtei halechem, and from the grain of this year's produce. Uviyoim ha-bikur be'akrivchem mincha chadosha la-Hashem b'shavu oseichem, on the festival of weeks. That is the pshuto shel mikra. The nitziv, kedarkoi, as his way is, to always decipher very difficult psukim, he has a very deep shot, and he says that this pasuk alludes to all three elements of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. When it says Uviyoim ha-bikurim, he understands it to mean literally the mitzvah d'oraisa of bringing bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. Bikurim is a gift that a person gives to support the Kohanim. The Kohanim do not possess land. They have no means of making a parnasa, and they were supported by the matnos kohuna, teruma, and zeroya l'chayayim v'hakeva, and the kurbanos. And in addition, one of the 24 gifts that the Kohanim receive is Bikurim. And we say every single day in davening, Elu Dvarim She'ein Lohem Shi'ur Hapeya V'Habikurim. There is no limit to how much a person can bring to the Beis HaMikdash to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikurim. And all of the fruits of the Zayin Minim Sh'nishtavchum Hem Eretz Yisrael, are all brought to the Beis HaMikdash and given as a gift to the Kohanim. It's put in a basket, it's presented before the Mizbeach, and the owner, he recites the vidui that we say in the Haggadah, Arami Ovi Ravi Vayered Mitzrayim Vayogashamim Seima'at, and then it is presented, the Kohen takes it and he waves it up and down, six directions with the Balabayas, and the Kohen keeps these first fruits. Now, that's the mitzvah Bikurim, and according to the Nitziv, that is what the Yom Tov of Shavuos is all about. It's the Zman when the mitzvah of Bikurim begins. Why? Why should the mitzvah of Bikurim begin on the Zman of Shavuos? The answer is because it says in the Vidui of Bikurim, the confession or the statement that the Kohen makes, the farmer makes when he presents these first fruits, Usimachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You shall rejoice. When during the year is the ultimate time of rejoicing? Not Pesach. Pesach, it does not explicitly say in the pasuk that there shall be simcha on the Yom Tov of Pesach. We only derive it through a drasha. We compare it to the pasuk v'samachta b'chagecha that's said by Sukkos, and we apply it to Pesach as well. It is an artificial joy. It's not, why? Because the produce has not yet been gathered in. If we look at we look in terms of parnasa, of money in the bank, the real Ziman of Simcha is Sukkos. Because Sukkos is the time of ingathering. The Chag HaOsif, when the money is in the bank, you got your stimulus check, you got your bonus, you have your salary, everything is there, then you have security. When there's money in the bank, everything is good. When you have Parnasa, everyone is happy, there's security, then we can apply the principle of the ultimate joy. Pesach, it's premature. Nothing has been gathered in. We don't even know what's going to be. Shavuos is already the time of when of the process of harvest has begun. And it's a time of joy. And the Pasuk indeed says the word Simcha in reference to Shavuos, the Samachta. Thus, when it says in the midst of Bikurim, Usimachtem, you shall rejoice, Chazal, we're able to connect the dots and understood that the Zman of Bikurim must take place during a time when there is authentic Simcha. And the time of authentic Simcha, as far as Parnasa is concerned, is from Shavuos until Sukkos. Because that's the time when you gather in, you harvest your crop, the produce comes in, and you have money in the bank. Before Pesach, there is a degree of uncertainty. In Shavuos, there is still a degree of uncertainty as to how things will develop. From Sukkos and onward, there was a very great degree of uncertainty. We do not know if it'll even rain, if there'll be anything more to eat. But between Shavuos and Pesach, that is the Zman of Simcha. And being that it says in the Parsha, Bikurim Usamach of Nashem Elokeichem, this is the time when the beginning, the midst of Bikurim begins. The first time when a farmer can come to the Beis HaMikdash and present a basket of fruit and fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of Bikurim, as is described in very great detail in the Sechta Bikurim, in Seder Zeroim, is Shavuos. Shavuos until Sukkos, mevi v'koire, you bring the basket of fruit and you recite the psukim, Arami Oviravi. From Sukkos until Chanukah, there is still joy because there's still some lingering gathering in. You can bring the Bikurim, but you cannot recite the words Arami Ovid Avi Mechanukah Ve'elech. From Chanukah until the next Shavuos, Einoi Mevi Klal. You did not bring Bikurim. So the Netziv says that when it says in the Pasuk Uviyam HaBikurim, it's not referring to only the Pshutei Shel Mikra, the first time you bring a mincha, a meal offering from wheat from this year, as the Pasuk goes on to say, Uviyam HaBikurim Be'akrivcha Mincha Chadasha, the Netziv understands Uviyam HaBikurim to be referring to the mitzvah, the rites of Bikurim. And then when it says the next words, Uviyam HaBikurim Be'akrivcha Mincha Chadasha LaHashem, that indeed is the mitzvah of the Shtei HaLechem. A special carbon was offered by Klal Yisrael in honor of Hashem on Shavuos. And then when it says, B'Shavuoseichem, that refers to the Torah. The Torah is the Zman, of Matan Torah. B'Shavuoseichem represents the time Usfartem Lechem Mimocharas HaShabbos HaShvist Tisbiru Chamishim Yoyim. You will count 50 days, and the 50 days was a build-up to Kabbalas HaTorah. So the Be'akrim Mincha Hadosha LaHashem B'Shavuoseichem is the end of Sefira. The end of Sefira is the Zman Matan Torah. And that is the third element of this Chag. The beginning of the Zman of bringing Bikurim, the uniqueness of the mitzvah, the rise of the Shtei HaLechem, and the end of Sefira, which alludes to Matan Torah. Now, I want to present you over here very quickly a question. There is a question in the Gemara. This question is a very, very difficult question to which there are really no good answers. And all of the Mefarshim struggle with intensity to answer this question. But at the end of the day, all of the answers are very not satisfying. Now, what are the issues? This is a very, very big sugya. I want to touch upon just the Rashi Perakim and present you the question. And maybe play around with an answer, which is not a very satisfying answer. What is the issue? Here it goes. Here is the issue. When it comes to this, this relates to the shtei halechem. Okay, we're not yet up to bikurim. I want to just discuss with you at the moment something very fascinating about the shtei halechem. The shtei halechem is made from wheat, and it is unique in that it is prepared chometz. Has to be made chometz. When did they prepare the shtei halechem? When was it prepared? When did they make these loaves of bread? The answer is, it's just like the lechem haponim. When did the kohanim bake the lechem haponim that were put on the shulchan? So we all know that the baking of the lechem haponim, the lechem haponim that was put on the shulchan on Shabbos, was not done on Shabbos. The baking of the breads is not doiche Shabbos. To bake bread involves multiple melochos of Shabbos. Chil Shabbos to make bread. We'll say, but in the Beis Hamikdash, the avoida is doiche Shabbos. Yes, things that could not be done before Shabbos are doiche Shabbos. But anything that cannot be done before Shabbos is not doiche Shabbos. Is it possible for you to bake the bread food that you will put on the shulchan before Shabbos? Absolutely. So bake the bread on Friday. And indeed, that is what they did. They baked the bread on Erev Shabbos. Okay, that is what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what about the Shtei HaLechem? On Shavuos, they offered two loaves of bread as a special karbon. When did they bake those two loaves of bread? The answer is Erev Yom Tov. Even though we have a halach that on Yom Tov, Eichel Nefesh is mutter, that's only when you can't do it before Yom Tov. Shechita, meat, typically you cannot do before, but bread, you can bake bread the day before. So the Gemara makes a drasha that the bread of the Shtei Lechem is not, the baking of bread is not Eichel Yom Tov, it's done before Yom Tov. Now here is the problem the Gemara presents. The problem is, that if you're going to bake the bread of the lechem aponim and the bread of the shtei halechem in a kli shoreis, in the oven of the Beis HaMikdash, there is a rule, an ironclad rule. Once a food item is put in a kli shoreis, the clock is ticking. If this food remains overnight in the kli shoreis, not being used, not fulfilling its function, its purpose, it becomes disqualified with the rule of lina. So let's understand. Let's look at the lechem aponim. If we're going to bake the lechem aponim Erev Shabbos on Friday in the Beis HaMikdash, in the oven of the Beis HaMikdash, in the pans of the Beis HaMikdash, the bread becomes sanctified in a kli shoreis. When? On Friday. On Friday, when I put the flour into the pan and add water and start kneading, immediately the dough is sanctified. When I bake it, it's sanctified again in the oven. When I take it out of the oven, put it back in the pan, put it back in the tray, whatever it is, it's sacred. If it's sacred, you must immediately do what you're supposed to do. If you keep it in that sacred utensil overnight, then when it's morning, it is disqualified. If it's disqualified, it has to be burnt. When am I planning to put the lechem aponim on the shulchan? Tomorrow in the afternoon. So at the time I get around to putting the lechem aponim on the shulchan in the afternoon, the bread that has been baked in Erev Shabbos has become disqualified because it passed through an entire night into the early morning in a kli shoreis. It became possible with lina. It's no longer, it has to be burnt. It's no longer fit to be put on the shulchan. And the same exact problem you're going to have with the shtei halechem. The shtei halechem is offered on the morning of Shavuos. If you're going to prepare the shtei halechem on Erev Shavuos, it's going to remain in the kli shoreis, in the Beis HaMikdash, overnight until the morning of Shavuos, and then it's going to be disqualified with lina. How then can you take it and offer it on the Mizbeach? It's disqualified. This question is asked by the Gemara. And the Gemara, because this question says, you know what? You're right. you don't prepare the lechem haponim and the shtei halechem in the Beis HaMikdash. It is prepared outside the Beis HaMikdash. The lechem haponim and the shtei halechem is prepared in ordinary utensils, mundane utensils outside the premises of the Beis HaMikdash. Outside, somewhere in Yerushalayim, they have a bakery, and there they prepare the lechem haponim, and the utensils that they use are not sacred, so that it should not become disqualified by tomorrow morning. The next day, they take the bread from the bakery, they bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and they then use it for the lechem haponim and the shtei halechem. Now, in the process of describing this Gemara, this discussion, the Gemara says, the Gemara used a word, the Gemara's word, now it's not the Gemara actually, it's the question is on Rashi. On Rashi, Rashi says, this all part of the discussion of the Gemara, and the Gemara, this is the Gemara Masechet Menachos Sandaf Tzadi Hei, and the Gemara says, there, Rashi says, that they would bake the bread outside in Yerushalayim. Rashi's words are v'loy ba, we're in the Azara, v'loy ba Azara mamish, not in the Azara, because if they would bake it inside the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash, it would become sacred. Ela b'chutz, yafuhu koyhanim, zirizim, koyhanim, who are very diligent, sheloy yachmitz, so that it should not turn into chametz. In other words, here's what Rashi is coming to point out, make a point that the Gemara actually makes is, let's discuss the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim must be matzah. It may not be chametz. If the baking will take place in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, we can be certain that the lechem aponim will have a very good hashkocha. It will be certified by the badatz, by the OU, the OK, the chafk, by garnish, and the vad harabonim of flatbush, and of course the starke, and liyeser se'es, the CRC as well. That's all if it's being baked inside the Beis HaMikdash. It may not turn into chametz. Nothing in the Beis HaMikdash may be chametz. There is very, very high standards of supervision that will take place in the Beis HaMikdash because it is the territory of the Kohanim, and the Kohanim are zurizim. They are diligent. But if you're telling me that we may not make the lechem aponim in the Beis HaMikdash and the shtei lechem in the shtei lechem in the Beis HaMikdash because we're very concerned that what's going to happen, it will become sacred, and then by the next morning it is possible with lina and it must be burnt and we're not going to be able to use it to put on the mizbeach, then we can't do it. We got a problem. So we have to prepare it. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, wait a minute. If you go into Yerushalayim, you know, there's different territories. The CRC and the OU don't exactly see eye to eye on how to go about certifying something that it should not be chametz. What are you going to do? You know, the answer is, Rashi says, they made an exception. Somewhere in Yerushalayim, they brought in the Kohanim who were in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were very diligent, and they made sure that everything was done kedas uchedin. It did not become tamei. Everything was done kedas uchedin. And Rashi there on this sugya that is discussing both. You have to look at the Gemara. It is clearly discussing two things: lechem aponim and shtei halechem. Rashi's words are, ela b'chutz yofuhu koyhanim zirizim sheloy yachmitz, so that the lechem haponim and the shtei halechem should not turn into chometz. Now, excuse me, it's true, the lechem haponim should not turn into chometz, but the shtei halechem should turn into chometz, because that's the uniqueness of this carbon. Chometz tihiyena. The shtei halechem that we offer on the Yom Tov of Shavuos must be chometz. So how can Rashi say, Rashi, who is describing, the Gemara is describing both the lechem aponim and the shtei halechem and discussing this issue. The Gemara says explicitly the shtei halechem, and in part of the conversation, which is a long sugya, which we can't go through now, this long sugya, and Rashi says, indeed, the only solution will be that it will be prepared outside the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to make sure that it's not going to become tamei, and everything will be k'das u'chudin by kohanim zerizim, shelo yachmitz. What? What do you mean, shelo yachmitz? It must be chametz, the shtei halechem. The lechem upon him should not turn into chametz, but the shtei halechem must turn into chametz. So what do you want to give me an answer? Tell me the answer. When Rashi said shelo yachmitz, he's referring to the lechem upon him. He wasn't really referring to the shtei halechem. Really? Rashi was sloppy? You want to say that Rashi was sloppy in his language? We don't like to do that with Rashi. So what are you going to answer? So this question is such a tough question. It is such a tough question. It has occupied the minds of every single acharon. Every single acharon has been totally fascinated with this question as to why, what in the world did Rashi mean? Now there are a lot of answers. I want to go to a new topic, but I want to just tell you one answer. It's not a good answer, not such a great answer to this question. But I think the hashkafa of the answer is very powerful, even though the answer technically is not such a great answer. And that is, whoever told you the word yachmitz means chometz? Yachmitz, we say it's chometz. Chometz tiyena. Shlo yachmitz. Yachmitz means it should not turn into something that it's not supposed to be. We use the word yachmitz by yayin wine also. When grape juice sours and becomes alcohol, it's also called the yachmitz. When wine turns into vinegar, when wine spoils and turns into vinegar, it's called yachmitz. The term yachmitz, although we like to be comfortable and translate it as chometz, so when it comes to lechem aponim, it means the lechem aponim is matzah, the lechem aponim is matzah, and the shtei halechem is chometz. But the word yachmitz more precisely means something should not go wrong. Or something, yachmitz means it changes into a new state. When grape juice becomes alcoholic, that's called the yayin, the grape juice is now chometz, it's yachmitz. When wine sours and becomes vinegar, that means it's the yachmitz. If dough sits around more than 18 minutes and now becomes leaven, it's called yachmitz. If something is supposed to be matzah, something is supposed to be chometz, and you blow it and you put it into the oven prematurely, that's called its chometz. And that's a little bit of a stretch. The shtei halechem is supposed to be chometz. So you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to knead the dough and let the dough sit and rise for 18 minutes. What happens if the baker is impatient? Listen, I got to go pick up my kid from school today. I have carpool. I have a dentist appointment. I have to go to the doctor. I can't sit around and wait here the whole day for this leaven, for this dough to rise, to turn into chametz, just because Klal Yisrael tomorrow has to offer the Shtei HaLechem. What Klal Yisrael do for me? I have to go be meticulous to make sure that it's, you know what? It's 17 and a half minutes. Good enough. Good enough. Let me shove this dough into the oven. No one will know the difference. No one will know the difference. He shoves the dough into the oven. It comes out. It looks pretty good. It looks like it's chametz. And tomorrow morning, on Shavuos morning, when the Kohanim arrive to pick up the Shtei HaLechem from the bakery who won the contract, because we lobbied and we know it's all politics, who's the bakery we want to put on our door? We are the bakery that makes the Shtei HaLechem for the Beis HaMikdash. It's good for business, no? It's good for business. You're able to put that on an advertisement in the Ated or Hamodia. You're able to go put on your advertisement and come buy bread in our bakery. After all, we're the bakery that makes the bread for centuries. We've been the one who's been making the bread for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Shtei HaLechem. The Shtei HaLechem, everyone knows, cannot be baked inside the Beis HaMikdash because it will become possible, you know? So we bake the bread in Yerushalayim. Guess what? We're the bakery that does it. So come buy us. So no one's really watching what you're doing. So what are you going to do with it? Oh, they're going to pick up tomorrow the Shtei HaLechem. It's 17 minutes. No, good enough. Put it into the oven. Tomorrow they pick up the bread. They take it to the Beis HaMikdash and they offer it to the Shtei HaLechem. And guess what? It's possible. You know why it's possible? It may look like chametz, but in halacha, it's really matzah because it was put in the oven 17 minutes after it was kneaded, not 18 minutes. So when something becomes what it's not supposed to become, that's also called chametz. That's also called chametz. Rashi here says, Rashi is discussing the lechem aponim every Shabbos, which must be matzah, and the shtei halechem. And Rashi, Gemara says, we got a problem. We cannot bake this in the Mikdash because it will be possible. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to bake it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to bake it. We're going to bake it in a bakery outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Wait a minute. You can't do that. You're leaving your safety net. You're leaving your quarantine. You're leaving your laboratory that's been sealed with plastic. You're leaving your safety net. Who's going to guarantee the kashrus? We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice, but we'll send down to that factory Koyhanim Zerizim to guarantee Shelo Yachmitz. And the term Yachmitz here means when it comes to the Lechem Aponim, we're going to make sure that it's matzah and it's not chametz. And when it comes to the Shtei HaLechem, here's the Chiddush, we're going to make sure we're going to be meticulous. Ushemartem es hachometz. That's what the mussar is. We're going to have shenira. It's going to be shemura chometz. We all heard of shemura matzah. Did you ever hear of shemura chometz? Okay, a person today will pay $50 for a pound of shemura matzah. How much would you pay for shemura chametz? Well, guess what it says over here. Rashi, koyhanim zirizim shelo yachmitz. The word yachmitz is a term which is translated relative to the subject. And if the subject is the shtei halechem, which must be chametz, the meaning of yachmitz in regard to the shtei halecha means it may become matzah. We have to make sure shelo yachmitz, that the shtei halecha should not turn into matzah. How will it turn into matzah? If the bakery man, the baker, puts it into the oven prematurely.
just like Ushmartem es hamatzos, there's a din Ushmartem es hachometz, and for that we need koyhanim zurizim. That is the avodah of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It's much harder. Think about this. It's much harder to be mekayim ushmartem es hachometz than it is to be mekayim ushmartem es hamatzos. To be an extremist is very easy. It's very easy to be an extremist. Make sure the bread goes into the oven the moment you finish kneading the dough. Everything is on. It's easy to be machmir. Ushmartem es hamatzos, you got to make sure you put this bread into the oven and poof, right away it turns into toast. There's an extreme element in matzah. There's an extreme element of swiftness without any hesitation. Don't think. Zrizim akdimim lemitzos. Get it over with. Knead it and get it into the oven and make sure it's toast. It's an art. It's a much bigger avodah to wait, to be patient. You have to wait. You know how hard it is to wait? Waiting is the hardest thing. We're living in quarantine now. Waiting, 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 waiting. Another day, this. When is it going to end? When this is going to end? When that's going to happen? Waiting is torture. It demands, Rahmanah with some people are sick, wait for results, test results, this. This generation, we've never experienced this thing called waiting in the whole history of the world. Because years ago, the modern technology has created things to happen lightning fast, but modern technology has also created a torture where people have to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait to get results for everything in this world. The expectations are immediate, but we have to wait. That's a much, much bigger avodah. Shavuos is the Yom Tov of not just, oh, we offer the Shtei Halacha, big deal. Pesach is matzah. Shavuos is chametz. Oh, chametz, the gashmis. Yeah, delicious. It's a kol moedim, the atzeres, the inami lochem. It's infinitely deeper than that. Pesach is easy. You don't have to wait. There's no waiting. Zrizim akdimim. You bake, you knead the dough, you throw it into the oven, you're done. Shavuos is the art of waiting. To know how to be patient, it's a Yom Tov of Musar. Koyhanim Zrizim, they sent the bread out to Koyhanim Zrizim, who is Zoriz, were diligent in waiting. You can guarantee they waited. That requires discipline, musar. That's not for the faint of heart. Shavuos is the Yom Tov of Ushmartem es hachometz, and it's all in Rashi. Rashi Mesechta Menachos Daf Tzadi Hey on the base on the sugya Achas Shtei Halechem. The achas lechem aponim lishoson va'arichoson b'chutz. The arrangement was done b'chutz. The Gemara goes through this whole sugya, and then the Gemara says they did everything was done b'chutz, and don't worry about the kashrus because we put it there koyhanim zirizim shelo yachmitz. What shelo yachmitz? That's true for the lechem aponim, not for the shtei alechem. Teretz says, you don't know how to translate the word yachmitz. It doesn't mean chometz. It means nothing should go wrong. And going wrong by the Shtei Alecha means you better wait. Shmartem es hachometz. That is the malchus of Matan Torah. Discipline. Torah is musar. It's musar. And part of musar means patience. Patience, we counted 50 days to get here. 50 days means, every day you got to be patient. You have to prepare yourself in a responsible way to get where
you need to be. Okay, that is one vart. I didn't mean that vart should take 40 minutes, but I have no regrets. Now we have 10 minutes left. I want to tell you another vart. Another vart, we'll have to cut down about Bikurim and how that relates to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. What I want to focus mainly on Bikurim is why do we lane the age-old question, which has 1,000 answers, and here's one of those 1,000 answers I want to discuss now. Why do we lane on the Yom Tov of Shavuos Megillas Rus? Rav Meir, you have a Megillas Rus for me? You have a Megillas with klaf? You have the klaf ready?
Are you going to read it?
Maybe, if I have an opportunity. I don't know.
We'll see. Have a Sefer Torah for you too, if you want.
No. I don't know if I'm going to even go down with the minion. I have no idea what's going on. All I know is that most of the people that I daven with on Shavuos, they're not here. They went to Pennsylvania. They're gone in the mountains.
You come over, you can read all of Vayikra.
Okay, so I don't even know what's going on with you. But in any event, okay,
let me know and I'll have it for you.
Thank you very, very much. Let's discuss over here this inyan. The inyan over here is why do we lay in Rus? So I want to, the answer is, you know why we lay in Rus? Rus directly connects to Bikurim. Uviyoin being that the Yom Tov of Shavuos is called Uviyoim HaBikurim, that's why we lay in Rus. What are you talking about? What possible connection can there be between Bikurim and Rus? And the answer is, if a Ger Tzedek has a basket of fruits, does he bring Bikurim? And the Gemara says, no, he doesn't. He brings Bikurim, but he doesn't say the words because it says in the Nusach of Bikurim, I'm sorry, this is the opposite. He does. I'm sorry, he does. What am I saying? He does bring Bikurim. You know why? What's the problem? It says in the Nusach of the Vidoy, the Aswadama Asher, instead of making up Sukkim, let me read you the Pasuk in Parshas Ki Savoy. Okay, here it says, he brings it, and he says the words, V'yonisa v'yamark v'fnei Hashem lokech arami oyved avi. And arami oyved avi, my father, does a Ger Tzedek, can he, who is the Ovi? Machlokes. We assume it refers to Yaakov Avinu. Can a Ger Tzedek call Yaakov his father? No, he cannot. He's not his father. What else is the problem? The problem is, it says in the Pasuk, it says in the end of the Pasuk, let me find the words. Uvasa el ha-koyhein. He doesn't say these words. But the parasha says, Uvasa el ha-koyhein, asher yiyeh bayom mohem. No, he does say these words. Ve'omar toilov. The farmer says to the koyhein, Higadti hayom la'shem elokecha, kivasi el ha'aretz, asher, Nishba Hashem la'avoy seinu lo seslanu. The land that Hashem has sworn to our fathers to give to us. Can a Ger Tzedek say these words? It would appear not, because a Ger Tzedek does not share our fathers. A Ger Tzedek, Avraham, was not the father of a Ger Tzedek. So if we take this at face value, it would appear that a Ger Tzedek cannot recite the psukim of Bikurim. Now let me contrast this with the next parasha. This is very, very important. We only have 5 minutes, but the next parasha, we learn about the vidui maestros. Okay, right? In Parashas Kisava, there are two different viduyim, two different confessions. They're not really confessions in the normal sense, two different things that a farmer says in the Beis Hamikdash. The first Aliyah describes, this says in detail what a farmer says when he brings Bikurim. And the second Aliyah describes what a farmer says after 3 years, a cycle of Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, called Vidui Maestros. And the words are V'yamarta, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, B'yarti HaKodesh Mabayis, V'gam Nisativ L'Levi V'Lagev L'Yasim V'Lo Almano, K'chol Mitzvos Chasher Tzivisoni L'Yavarti, M'Mitzvosech L'Shechachti, and it goes on and on. And then he goes on, the last pasuk is Hashkiifa. Mimoin kachkom and ashlaim uvareches amcha Yisrael v'eso adama asher nosatulanu kasher nishpatu lavoiseinu, like you swore to our forefathers. So both in the parasha of vidui maestros and the parasha of bikurim is there a confession, and both of them mention, as you have sworn to our forefathers. And here we have a Ger Tzedek, a newcomer, and he has land. He owns land, he purchased land, and he has fruit, and he brings the Maestros and the Bikurim. The Rambam paskins that the Ger, this very same Ger Tzedek, cannot recite the Vidui of Maestros, because it says in the Pasuk, Asher Nishpa La'avoseinu, and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are not the Avoseinu of a Ger Tzedek. And thus the Rambam says clear as day that the Ger Tzedek may not recite the Vidui of Maestros after 3 years of Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, and Truma. May not. But the very same Rambam says he may and is obligated to recite the Vidui of Bikurim. So the question, the million-dollar question is, what's the difference? Why, when it comes to Bikurim, do we allow the Geret Tzedek to recite all of the Psukim? And when it comes to Vidui Maestros, we do not allow him to recite the Psukim? This is a massive question, just like we had before that massive question on Rashi, which has occupied the minds of the greatest of the great to understand what the Rambam is doing here by contradicting himself between Vidui Maestros and the Vidui of Bikurim. And one of the answers, okay, only one answer for now that we're going to give is the difference is the Vidui of Bikurim, when it mentions here, this is an answer, the Bikurim, when it mentions Asher Nishbal Avaseinu, is Al Ha'osid. It's for the future. If you look at the words, the way it's written, it's very different. He says here, V'nisov Yamarta, Lefnei Hashem Lokech, Arami Oivavi, V'yamarta Elav, the farmer says, Higarti Hayom Hashem Lokivos Yelo Oretz, I've come to the land, Asher Nishpa Hashem La'avoseinu Lo Seslanu. This is a very delicate answer, and it's an interesting answer. What the farmer is doing is, he's putting himself in the shoes of the Avos, and he's describing a future promise. This is the land. The grammar of the pasuk is the future tense. Kivasi El Oretz, the land, Asher, that you're going back in time. When the land was given, Hashem made a Shavua, before the land was given, Asher Nishpa Hashem La'avoseinu Lo Seslanu, to give to us. So the Ger says, listen, at that point in time, I'm really no different than you, because you did not own the land then either. The land was promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He's not actually my father, but it doesn't matter because from a practical point of view, he wasn't your father either. He wasn't your father because you weren't born yet. Just like, what's your complaint against me? Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac was not my dad. He ain't my dad. Well, guess what? He wasn't your dad either at the time when Hashem made the Shavuah. Hashem made the Shavuah to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov before you existed. So he wasn't your father either. So just like for you, the translation is not precise. It's not precise for me either. Contrast that with the Vidui of Bikurim. In the Vidui of Bikurim, what does it say? V'yamarek of Hashem alokecha, bi'art yakesh min abayis, v'gam nisat v'alevi. Where's the Hashkifa? I'm sorry, Hashkifa. Hashkifa m'moim kachcha min ha-shamayim. Okay, uvorich es ancha v'yis ho adama. Bless the earth, asher nosato lanu, that you have given to us. The perspective of the pasuk here in the Vidui Maestros says, here we are in the year Tov Shin Pei, and this land is our land. Asher nosato lanu. You gave it to us already, just like Asher nishpata, like you swore, lavoseinu eretz zavas chalav udvash. It says here the words Asher nosata lanu. In the Vidui of Bikurim, it says, doesn't say Asher nosata lanu. It doesn't say those words. It doesn't say Asher nosata lanu. It just says, Kivasi elo aretz, I've come to the earth. Asher nishba Hashem la avoseinu lo ses lanu. Asher nosat, those three words make all of the difference. In the parish of Vidui Maestros, you say, the land, that's my land. You've given it to us. How did I get this land? Because Hashem made a shvua to Avoseinu. So because you've made the statement, it's the past, it's already ours, and now you say, Hashem made a shvua, the meaning of that shvua means the shvua that Hashem made to our father, my father. As well as your father, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, you're a newcomer. You're a Geret Tzedek. No, he's not. So I'm sorry, you cannot make this statement. Because since we're discussing the present right now, we're here right now, and we're acknowledging that it's our land right now. It was given to us. And what was given to us through an oath that was made to our, meaning us physically, our father, and he's not your father. I'm sorry, so you cannot make that shvuah. But when it comes to Bikurim, when it comes to Bikurim, it doesn't say Asher Nasata Lanu. It doesn't talk about the past tense. What it says is, I've come to the earth. It doesn't say, and this earth was promised Lavaisenu. Guess what? When the promise was made, he wasn't your father yet either because you were not born. So just like it's not precise for you, it's not precise for me, so it doesn't make a difference. I can say the Nusach. This is what it says. This is one answer. This is a popular answer given to explain the contradiction in the Rambam as to why a Ger Tzedek can recite the Vidui for Bikurim and cannot recite the Vidui for Maestres. I believe that this answer, this Yesoid, touches upon the entire essence of Yom Matan Torah. Yom Matan Torah is for everyone. For everyone, there's no one can say, hey, it's not for you. Sonny boy, don't touch the merchandise. This is out of your league. A Ger Tzedek has just as much of a right in Torah who wants to join Klal Yisrael as any old. Everyone is in the same boat. Bikurim is the perfect mitzvah that illustrates we're all the same. Everyone has a chelik in Torah. No one can. Ger is the most extreme example of denying a chelik in Torah because they were not a Har Sinai. But yet the mitzvah of Bikurim says anyone who brings fruit to the Beis Hamikdash and presents it to the Kohen, it's theirs, and they can say it's their chelik. And even though the pasuk Asher Nishba La'Avoseinu, They're part of Avoseinu, because we're going back in time. You're entering into Klal Yisrael to such a degree, you can even say Avoseinu. You only have that by Bikurin. You don't have that by Vili Maestres. There are different levels. There's a Koyein, a Levi, Yisrael, a Ger, even Chutz L'machaneh. The essence of Shavuos is Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hohar Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad Achdus. Everyone is equal. Even the Ger Tzedek can bring Bikurim. Bikurim captures your Chelek in Torah. David HaMelech comes from Gerim. He comes from not just Gerim Gerurim, Gerim that are not allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. Lo yavoy amoyni umayavi b'kahal Hashem. And we need a Mesorah. Amoyni v'lo yamoyni, amoynis. Mayav v'lo yamoyavis. And that's why David can come. David can come. Once David can come, David can say, Esadoma asher nosata, asher nishpa Hashem la'avoyseinu loses lanu. The essence of Bikur of Shavuos is the Yom HaBikurim. There is no one, no creature on this world that's Michutz LaMachane when it comes to Bikurim. Everyone can do Bikurim the full sense of the word, because we're going back in time. We're going back in time. You're entering into at a point of the very beginning. We're taking you back to the beginning. And that's why Gerim are not excluded. David comes from Gerim. And it's a mustahaskel, not just David a ger, but anyone who feels that they've been excluded is not excluded. You're going back to Bikurim. This is the essence of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It's Bikurim. Even Gerim can bring Bikurim. And that's why we have to learn Rus HaMoaviyah. Even though David comes from Gerim, so what? That's Nichlal in the din of Yom HaBikurim. Okay, that was the idea I wanted to say. I bless you, have a wonderful day. Whoever wants to join me, I know tomorrow is a busy day, but if you want to join me for a small shir, a short shir tomorrow at 9:30, Amir Tashem, I will make it my best to be here to learn. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy. Be well. Stay safe. And see you all later. And by the way, about tonight, if anyone who joins me at night, so tonight we're going to do the shir on Siddur. Because tomorrow there is no shir, obviously. So tomorrow we're going to do today Siddur, tonight, Wednesday night at 7:15.
Rabbi Levine.
Have a good afternoon.
Rabbi Levine. You need a special code for tonight to join? I once tried at night. I couldn't get on.
It's a different address. Go to Kyle WhatsApp. You see the address.
Torah what?
Dr. Fruchter, how you doing?
In the chat?
Chat?
Do you have WhatsApp?
Yeah, we have the address there at the end.
Oh, I don't have WhatsApp, no.
Okay, I'll text it to you, okay? I'll send you a text, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay, have a good day, Rabbi Levine.
Okay, Gerald left.
Zag, the same people.
Thank you.
Dr. Fruchter, how you doing?
Dr. Fruchter?
Keep well.
Mayor wants to know how you're doing. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a good day.
Take care, Mark.